Wake up with the news and information you can trust. Starting your day the right way with the Andy Griffin Show. This is News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
Good morning to you. It's Monday, 9:08. It's Veterans Day. Yes, it is. So those of you that are retired don't really think much about holidays and stuff. I asked my dad, you know what? He said, well, I know certain days of the week I have certain things, but mostly, no, not really. But, yeah, it's Veterans Day. Jack Lancaster is with me today.
Good morning. Good morning.
Hi, Jack. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm excited for Veterans Day. Now a little Veterans Day history, and then I have a little tribute from Ronald Reagan that I'm going to play.
One of my favorites.
Veterans Day was originally Armistice Day.
Uh-huh.
Of course, commemorating the day the treaties were signed to end World War I back in the early 1900s. By 1938, it was made officially a federal holiday. And the difference between a national holiday and a federal holiday, we know this maybe intuitively, but I'll just lay it out for you. Federal holiday is one that government designates specifically for federal institutions and their employees to have the day off.
That's why the banks and post offices closed.
Yeah, banks picked up on that. But it's not a national holiday, meaning most regular guys don't get the day off. They go
Okay.
Yeah. National holiday would be like Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's and those types of things.
Oh.
And so
this is a federal holiday.
So you can still go get your favorite Mexican food here in town on this day.
It's always a good idea.
For sure.
Yeah.
There are a whole bunch of restaurants in town that are giving away free meals or buy one, get one free meals for veterans. And we'll publish some of those on our website, but you know, basically a lot of the big ones, Chili's and Applebee's and some of those, and you know, a lot of restaurants giving away free meals. Or like I said, there's a couple like Dickie's that will give away a buy one, get one free.
Uh-huh.
So you go in with your veteran, you pay for your meal and he gets his free or whatever. So that's out there too. But
good for those guys.
I went out searching around and I found this great tribute. This is Ronald Reagan. It's 3 minutes long, he basically says it better than I could possibly even think about saying it. So here's a little tribute, Veterans Day tribute by Ron Reagan.
A few moments ago, I placed a wreath at the tomb of the unknown soldier. And as I stepped back and stood during the moment of silence that followed, I said a small prayer. And it occurred to me that each of my predecessors has had a similar moment, and I wondered if our prayers weren't very much the same, if not identical. We celebrate Veterans Day on the anniversary of the armistice that ended World War I, the armistice that began on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month. And I wonder, in fact, if all Americans' prayers aren't the same as those I mentioned a moment ago. For all we can ever do for our heroes is remember them and remember what they did, and memories are transmitted through words. We see these soldiers in our mind as old and wise. We see them as something like the founding fathers, grave and gray-haired. But most of them were boys when they died, and they gave up two lives, the one they were living and the one they would have lived. When they died, they gave up their chance to be husbands and fathers and grandfathers. They gave up their chance to be revered old men. They gave up everything for our country, for us. And all we can do is remember. There's always someone who is remembering for us. No matter what time of year it is or what time of day, there are always people who come to this cemetery, leave a flag or a flower or a little rock on a headstone. And they stop and bow their heads and communicate what they wished to communicate. I think sometimes of General Matthew Ridgway, who, the night before D-Day, tossed sleepless on his cot and talked to the Lord and listened for the promise that God made to Joshua. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. We are surrounded today by the debt of our wars. We owe them a debt we can never repay. All we can do is remember them and what they did, and why they had to be brave for us. All we can do is try to see that other young men never have to join them. Today, as never before, we must pledge to remember the things that will continue the peace. Today, as never before, we must pray for God's help in broadening and deepening the peace we enjoy. Let us pray for freedom and justice and a more stable world. And let us make a compact today with the dead. A promise in the words for which General Ridgway listened, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee.
God bless our veterans for sure. You know, that was a time, Ronald Reagan was president, that you could intermingle scripture with your speeches and you wouldn't be mocked or ridiculed. Yeah. Nowadays, you do that and you, boy, do you hear from it from the left. But I remember, Jack, when I was a little kid, there were still veterans of World War One around, you know, back in the early 70s. And they would have been, you know, at that point, you know, if you figure World War ended in the early 1918, I think it was. Mm-hmm. So that would in the say 1970. That was 52 years later. So they would have been maybe in their 70s or 80s, and of course they passed on. And then 20, 30 years later, we started losing all our World War II veterans. And now it's rare to see a World War II veteran anymore. Right. My dad was in the Army in the during the Korean War. He's 89. They're, you know, Korean War veterans aren't going to be around a whole lot longer. So. You know, war isn't good. It's never good. And, you know, I like to quote Hawkeye Pierce, of all people, from Massey, where he says, war is worse than hell. And when the chaplain asked him why, he said, well, who's in hell? It's the people that deserve it. Who's in war? The people that are suffering.
Yeah.
The innocents.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so for me, I look at it and I go, you know, there are certain people out there who pledged to give their life in you know, for this country, for freedom, for this ideal. And it makes me sad sometimes when I think of all those out there that don't understand that, don't care about that. I wonder, Jack, what do you think about the idea that, you know, young people stepped up and defended this country in Korea, in World War II, in World War One, Desert Storm. But would young people step up nowadays if we needed them?
When we got attacked on 9/11, I believe the armed forces had a surge of volunteers.
We did, yeah. But that was 23 years ago.
I still think we would. Do you? I still think we would, yeah.
I hope so.
I think so because I've got three daughters that are in their early 20s, and now they've got each of them have their one's married and the other two have boyfriends. And those young men, they're patriotic kids, you know.
Yeah.
They understand what's going on, and they're trying to navigate this crazy world we're in. And of course, they see it differently than we do. But they still have that patriotic spirit. You know, it's still there. And I think there's something in a young man that wants to defend his family and his faith and his honor. And that, and I would venture to say there's probably less of a percentage, or rather, how you want to say it, more of a percentage that would not feel that way, or less of a percentage that does. But I think the majority of us would step up and do that, because I still think that we are we're a center right nation. We're still a, generally speaking, a Christian nation. I think it's just this noisy.
They're loud.
minority. You know, they used to call it the silent majority. You know, a few election cycles back, and I think it still probably
it's still
is
there.
That.
Well, I mean, we showed it was on Tuesday.
Yeah, my dear wife, she said, "You know how I know now that the 2020 election was rigged?" Okay, that's just kind of surprised me.
Yeah.
She goes, "Because so many people voted for Trump." And so, and it wasn't that close.
No.
So they must have done something last time around.
Yeah.
He's still the same guy.
Yeah. I've talked about this on the show all week last week, but so many people crying and saying our rights are gone. Now that Trump's president, we've lost all our rights. And I was like, you know, he was president 4 years ago, and you still had all those rights.
Yeah. That's a funny argument, and you know, we're getting a little off topic, but you know, no one president can thankfully do a lot of those things to us. You know, we've got checks and balances that still work. But I would like to also give thanks to the veterans that did what they did. I find it really, there's a certain type of courage and honor that goes with a young person that volunteers to go into service and put up their, you know, put up their life, if need be. And do that. I spent yesterday in the afternoon. I watched Forrest Gump, and that scene where he goes to Vietnam, you know, and everything. And
yeah,
it just reminds me of when I was a younger person in the world, because that in the movie it really encapsulates what life was like in those periods of time through his eyes. And the guys that did that, and I understand the protest behind it, because we drafted men to go to that war. It was weird.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like something I think we would never do today. I understand a draft if your country's in danger, like in World War II, you know, we were being attacked by both sides, you know, in the East and the West, but, something like Vietnam, it didn't make a lot of sense. So,
yeah.
But anyway, it was, I think as today's veterans, you know, my hat's off to you guys that, and young, you men and women that have served, and we appreciate it. And I think those of us that voted, you know, we owe it to them, to not just vote, but to make an informed vote.
Hmm.
And,
good point.
But to do that, to take that minute or two and get researched on the subjects and cast your vote.
I was lucky enough, Saturday, to rub shoulders with a bunch of veterans. And I went up to High Voltage Barbecue up there in Parowan, and I talked with Cade, who runs High Voltage, who owns it. I think he said we think we're around 200 free meals that we gave out to veterans on Saturday.
Oh wow,
very, very cool. And the thing is, he wasn't hurting for money either, because almost all the veterans brought family members with them.
Oh, sure.
And spent money, and plus they had raffle, and all the money for the raffle go into people of good. Veterans. It went to veterans organizations, and it was a fun experience, and got to hang out, like I said, with a bunch of veterans, and Cade spent a year and a half in Afghanistan. So we think veterans, we think World War II, we think Vietnam, we think Korea, even Desert Storm, but we don't think about, there are veterans right now on foreign shores who are, you know, trying to keep the peace in the world.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So... and Cade was one of those, and boy, he told me some stories that he says, I'd rather not talk about some of these things on the radio, because I'm like, hey, come on the radio and tell me some of these stories. He said, I can't. He says, you're my buddy. I'll talk to you about it, but I don't want to talk to the whole world about some of these things. But you know, you put in a situation there he was in the National Guard and got called to active duty.
Did he go to Afghanistan?
Afghanistan,
or
and his life was on the line every single day.
Yeah, that was a crazy one. That was absolutely crazy. But yeah, we're very thankful for this day. It was a good day to honor them, and it was really cool to listen to Ronald Reagan. And no one communicates like he does. I sure miss that guy.
Yeah, he's sure amazing.
Do. Yeah.
Did you get to see the Reagan movie ever? Did you ever get to see
it? I haven't watched it yet. You know, sometimes it's hard. You feel like, you know, you don't want to see somebody. I don't know how.
That's how I felt going in. But I decided, you know what, I want to see it anyway. I want to see if they do a good job with it.
How'd they do?
And I thought they did a really good job with it.
Really?
I mean, it's impossible to encapsulate what a man was all about in an hour and a half.
Yeah.
But I think they did a really good job of kind of portraying. And Dennis Quaid, I think, is the guy that played Reagan.
Right, right.
Didn't look that much like Reagan to me, but his mannerisms and his speech and everything, he really
nailed that down.
A nice job of it. Yeah. Oh. So I recommend anyone I see, go see the Reagan movie. It is really good.
Yeah.
Especially younger people who weren't alive or didn't experience Reagan as a president.
Uh-huh.
I think it'll give you an idea of what he was all about.
Yeah.
He went to the table with Gorbachev and those guys and didn't blink. He's like,
he understood that America was And that's the thing about him. When you listen to that speech, he talked about saying a prayer. He talked mm-hmm. about quoting the general that quoted some that was thinking about the scriptures on D-Day. You know, he was not necessarily he was a spiritual man. I don't think he went to church a lot when he was president.
No, he wasn't a overly religious guy at all.
But he understood the importance of God and faith and prayer on the world stage, especially as a world leader. And he knew that the Soviets were a godless people, and he knew that we have God on our side, literally.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of times you can't make that claim because you can say, well,
your God and my God, and
are we on God's side rather? You know,
yeah.
And you know, up against the Soviets, it was wasn't a, I think, but yeah, I mean, he was the man for the time. And again, this country, I think, we are blessed. I really feel like. That we get a leader, we get a president, and we get a leader that we really need when we really need it. I feel like Trump is the man for the time right now. I feel like George W. Bush, given his flaws, was probably a better president than Al Gore would have been during the 9/11 attacks. I could be, you know, history maybe. I don't know. I just feel like he was a better choice than that. And that was the choices we had at the moment. But... You know, Reagan was the man for the Cold War. He ended the Cold War, you know, and understood what it meant, what American power can do. So,
I'm going to quote, this is an article on Deseret News. The title of the article is Why the Spirit of Veterans Day is So Important. It was written by the Deseret News editorial board. And let me see if I can find my spot now with these facts figures. Okay, a YouGov poll last March found that 61% of Americans believe it is at least somewhat likely another world war will happen within the next decade. Wow, somewhat likely, with 22% saying it's very likely. But the same survey found that only 6% of Americans say they would volunteer to fight if such a war broke out, another 9% saying they would serve if called up, presumably in a draft, and another 13% say they would refuse to serve. That's more that would refuse than said they would willingly go. And a whopping 60% said they're either too old or otherwise unable to serve. I guess that would be me.
That would be us.
Yeah. I don't know about you, but I'm there.
Well, no, I'm not going to be out running in the trenches, but, I mean, if you want to put me in a separate role, I could fill that. You know, you and I could fill the role.
Oh, yeah. We're smart guys. Yeah, we could.
Intelligence, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, counterintelligence.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a lot of intelligence in the room, but I just found that number a little bit disappointing, that only 9% said they would willingly go and 13% they would absolutely refuse.
I think the problem with that survey is that it's not a real thing. In other words, okay.
Well, sure.
You know, if something really happened, my guess is that it would be a little bit more, but I don't know, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, we got college students protesting, you know, pro-Palestine, kill the Jews, you know, from the river to the sea, you know. So I sometimes wonder about the
again, I think that's that very vocal minority.
Yeah.
Obviously it is. I mean, didn't Michigan vote for Trump? And there's ones that's got all the American Muslims in them in that state.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And those counties. I think Kamala didn't overperform a single county that Biden won, or that Biden performed in. In other words, she did not overperform in any county.
I think now we can say it for sure. Not even I think. People saw through Kamala's word salad.
Yeah.
And said, I don't think she's that smart. I don't think she can do the job.
You hear what the people are saying this morning?
What's that?
They want Biden to resign so he can make Kamala the first woman president.
I have heard that. You know what?
And that would be perfect because, you know, she would basically be the first DEI to make it all the way to the top, you know.
Well, it's definitely diverse.
And then all she needs now is the Nobel Prize for Peace or something.
Oh, man. Yeah, I think that America really so here's the thing about that. When they had first started talking about Biden stepping aside for the elections and letting Kamala go.
Uh-huh.
I was in the camp of that's not going to happen. Biden is too proud. He loves being president. His wife hates Kamala Harris. It's never going to happen. And then it happened. So with you saying, yeah, he's going to step down and let her be president for a while, My first reaction is that'll never happen. And then I go, okay, well, what happened last time I said that? Yeah.
I don't think anybody could have written the script on this election cycle, especially the last 8 months or so.
Yeah,
you know, bizarre. With the assassination attempts and Biden dropping out. And, I mean, all the crap that's been going on. I'm so glad it's over.
Well, that part of it is over, but the assassination attempts, I don't think are over.
Yeah, hopefully it's going to be a lot harder for
him. Because the left invoked such hatred for the man, calling him Hitler and Marxist and all this stuff,
yeah.
Which is ironic because they're Marxist. But anyway, that I think that there are people triggered now, people still who want to kill Trump, and they will give their own life to try to kill the president, like that shooter did on the roof at the Pennsylvania rally.
Yeah.
So it's sad, but I think it's, you know, still a possibility.
Yeah.
So we've got a weather break coming up. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about, you know, we were talking about young people. Would they fight for this country? What is a young person's building blocks? What do they base their life on? Do they have moral values? And Jack works with a lot of young people. So we're going to get his take on some of the moral values that we're supposed to have. 10 moral values that we are supposed to have. We'll talk about those when we come back. Right now, let's do a weather check, shall we?
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Want to talk for just a second about Heartlight Funeral Services. They're AG approved. Yeah. Now, Heartlight Funeral Services has a different take on the end of life situation. You lost a loved one, but you remember Cookie Monster saying, when someone asked him if he was sad that all the cookies were gone, and Cookie Monster said, "Me not sad, cookies gone, me happy that cookies were here." That's kind of like Heartlight Funeral Services. They're like, you know what? We are sad, for sure, that someone that we love has passed from this life. But let's celebrate the time that we had with them and all the great things, the great experiences we had with them. Heartlight Funeral Services tagline is life celebrated. Yeah, life celebrated. Check them out online, heartlightfs.com. They won Best of Southern Utah many times in Cedar. Now they have a funeral home right here in Washington County. It's on Washington City, 504 West Buena Vista Boulevard. It's Heartlight Funeral Services. You know, they have a 24-foot white wall that they play, and a projector. They play a 20. Imagine how big that is, 24-foot celebration of life for your loved one. Again, Heartlight wants to help you celebrate the life of your loved one. Check them out online, heartlightfs.com. Heartlight Funeral Services is AG approved. Welcome back to the show. Jack's whistling. I'm not. It's not bad, Jack. You know, guys get paid to do that, right?
Not me.
You'd have to get a little better. It's okay, but it's not. Yeah. Welcome back.
Give me a studio in about 10 takes.
Yeah,
and an editing.
Imagine how sore your lips would be if you had to whistle that over and over and over and over again for the director.
I don't know that would be very fun. Please.
Yeah. They say, you know, a lot of the movies we watch that they'll do a take 50 times until the director feels it's just perfect.
Yeah.
And I'm not an actor. I've never really acted in any plays, but I can't imagine having to do the exact same thing over and over again and maybe change the tone of your voice or the look on your face or whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I couldn't do that.
Yeah. That's hard work.
Especially if you're an actor who believes in your character and you feel like you did the character right.
Yeah.
Like I did. This is how it should sound. And the director says, not good enough. Fix it. Change it. Okay. All right. 10 essential moral values that build character and instill positive behavior in young people. All right.
Okay.
We're going to go over them. The question was asked earlier, would young people step up and go to war if World War III were to break out? Would they? Would young people go, I'm in. Let's save the country. Let's do what needs to be done. And the poll that we were reading from said an overwhelming amount of them said, no, I'm not interested in doing that. So I think it's about the moral values. Let's talk about them. Number one is respect. Now, Jack, you have a lot of young people that you work with in your business. Do you feel like that they have respect for people that are maybe in more authority or are older than them.
Yeah, so yes, but good. The ones that do not don't last very long.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we've had a few that don't. They don't last long. They wash out.
You know,
or we wash them out.
As a business owner
yeah.
that hires and pays these people, they yeah. should have a lot of respect for you.
Right.
Right? And I mean, I don't know anything about Town Square, you know, the owner of my, I don't know anything, but, you know, it's been around a while. But one thing I know is they sign my paychecks, they pay me, and they have the power to make me not employed with them anymore.
Yeah.
And yes, I would probably land on my feet and find another job and all that stuff, but I have respect for, you know, our corporate guy is Kevin, and I have respect for the people because they are my authorities. They, yeah. they are the people that have authority over me, and that's how
you. So it's hard to say as far as that goes because they, like I said, they would wash out. As far as other youngsters, we live in a bubble, I got to say.
We do.
You
we
know,
do.
And it's hard to tell. But I think there's pockets and there's areas where there's good and there's bad, where there's both sides of that coin.
Okay, number two, honesty.
Yeah.
How honest are young people, Jack?
Ooh, hard to say, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's good. And when I say young people, yeah, I'm talking about 16 to 25
okay.
group. So the young, the very young. And I have, in full disclosure, I have two daughters that are in that age group.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like they're both very honest people. But they were, you know, I hopefully raised them to be that way.
Yeah.
But are parents raising their children to be honest, do you think?
I think if parents are involved in their children's lives, they are doing that. If they are okay. not, then I think then the world is raising them. And that can be anything and anybody.
All right. Honesty and respect, I think, pretty cut and dried. But now it gets a little muddier. Compassion is one of the moral values, the top 10 moral values listed. Compassion is a tough one, Jack, because it's not necessarily a character flaw if you don't have compassion for someone. For instance, if you deem someone to be not worthy of the compassion, and a crude example would be, say, a woman goes to have an abortion in the 8th month and she has complications in maybe dies or gets very, very sick because of it. There are people out there who say, well, she was getting an abortion, so I don't need to have compassion for her because she was doing something I think is morally wrong.
Yeah.
So compassion gets a little bit cloudy in there.
Well, hang on.
All right.
I think there may be an overabundance of compassion.
Too much?
Yes.
Yes. Can you give us an example of what you mean?
At the risk of running afoul of certain people in my life.
Your wife?
let me have put this a certain way. If someone thinks that they're one thing and they're not, and we all go in on it, that's a form of, in my opinion, misplaced compassion. I mean, on a personal one-to-one level, you always treat someone with respect, but in a general level, you have to do it. You have to treat the situation a little differently.
Okay.
If you're an organization, for example.
That was very carefully said, but I think
I don't know if you know what I'm talking about.
I do.
Yeah. I do believe there's an abundance of compassion right now.
Okay.
I would think there is.
Is there too much? You know, we talk about helicopter
parents. Well, you can't have too much. Absolutely. You can't have too much.
Okay.
And, yeah, I can't think of an example now, but I believe there's probably too much compassion and not enough, you know, get your crap together. Maybe that's a form of compassion if you if you're giving somebody advice to fix their lives instead of just enabling. I think there's too much enabling, and maybe that's conflated with compassion.
The story of the baby chicken hatching and trying to peck through the egg, right, to get out. And studies have shown again and again that if someone peels the egg away for the chicken, the chick, the baby dies.
Right.
But if the baby fights to get out itself, it lives.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's compassion, right? That.
Right. But understanding when you know what it's about, when you understand the big picture, then you know enough to leave it alone, or you know enough to give it tough love, or you know enough to tell someone who needs to hear the hard truth about what's an issue in that person's life. If you're a true friend, you don't just be a yes person. You have to be someone who gives them proper, honest feedback. And I think maybe we tend to be more trophy for everybody. Is a trophy for everybody, participation trophy, is that compassion? That's in my opinion.
You could say, yeah.
You could say that, but I think it's misplaced compassion.
Misplaced compassion,
so
okay.
Maybe there is a dearth of true compassion, okay? Now I just went back around.
All right. The next one, I'm going to read an adage first, and then you'll know what the next one is. It's been said that success is made up of 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration. Yeah. So the next one would be hard work. Are our young people afraid of hard work?
In the way that you and I define hard work, probably.
Hmm?
Okay. And I would say yes. I don't know if they're afraid of it or they just don't need to do it. They're not required to do it, and so they don't.
Maybe
that's a generalization that might be unfair. But
I don't know, Jack. I mean, I feel like I raised my daughters the right way, but I got to tell you, if you tell them, hey, we need you to work 50 hours this week because we're shorthanded, they're going to say, I'm not doing that. I'll work my 40.
And I remember you telling the story about your daughter was always picking up shifts.
Yeah.
For other people that were calling in for whatever reason.
Right.
And she was working all the time.
And I would say, well, so they were sick or they had an emergency? What? No, they just didn't want to work that day.
Right.
And I'm like,
right.
Well, she's like, it's not fair that the company scheduled them to work so much.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
And I mean, it was good for her because she got extra money and got to work extra hard. But at the same time, I kind of questioned the whole reasoning behind all that. So, all right, let's
hard work's a thing. I think that I would agree. Based on also my experience.
You would agree they have not been taught enough?
They have not been taught. And you have to be taught to work hard.
I agree.
I don't think it comes naturally.
I agree.
Yeah.
So here's something that's interesting, and I'll ask you about this. Our generation, we were taught to work hard. That's just the job needed done, you do it until it's done. It doesn't matter how many hours you work or whatever. There are young people who don't feel that way. So should we, as the generation that was taught to work hard, be angry, feel jealous, be unhappy with them if we're working hard and they're not?
Depends on what the situation is. I mean, okay. If it's an employee, then my first impression is, well, I haven't taught them. That's my first go-to. Mm. Okay, then I teach them. And then if they don't pay attention or if they don't do what I taught them, then I can say, okay, I already told you this once. I'm going to tell you one more time.
Got it.
I had a kid that wouldn't wear a hat. There are some positions in my business where you have to wear a hat.
Right.
He wouldn't wear a hat. At that time, I had like about five hats in my car, and I kept giving him a hat. I said, this is my last hat.
I'm running out of hats, dude.
You come to work without a hat, you just turn around and go home.
So was he morally, would you say I didn't want to wear one?
He was one of these guys that I had to fire because he didn't have respect to.
Mm,
he was just an idiot. They exist too.
yeah, that's tough.
Sometimes, you know, it's not like people are stupid. People can be, but I think they just, if you're not interested in whatever it is, then they're going to go half-assed at something, you know, and I hate that. Yeah. You know, you got to, but you know, again, when you're young, you don't know what you want in your life. You know, you still are figuring a lot of stuff out. So.
I remember my daughter, she was training a guy because she was leaving to study abroad, and she was training a guy at her workplace.
Yeah.
And she said, oh, he's an idiot. And I'm like, what do you mean by that? Like, is he really stupid? And she goes, oh, no, he's not stupid.
Yeah.
He just is an idiot. He doesn't care about the job.
Yeah.
So he doesn't want to work. Yeah. And she says, when I train him, I'll train him how to do something correctly. He'll do it, and then he'll do it wrong. And I'll say, hey, you need to do it this way. You say, hey, I know how to do it. You don't have to tell me. I already know how to do it.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, you just did it wrong. So
yeah.
You clearly don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
But, idiot.
And again, it's another thing where kids need to be trained to respect authority and take direction.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And again, these are all, you know, comes back to, you know, a lot of parenting issues, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, let's get a commercial break in. When we come back, we'll finish our list of moral values. Are the kids getting them or not when we come
all
back?
Right.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back to the Andy Griffin Show. Jack Lancaster with me today. He got a text from his wife. Is she happy or unhappy with
you? She is. I think she's happy. I said, she doesn't do sarcasm on the...
Okay. So. We're talking about moral values of young people and being old people. We are just offering our opinions because we're not young people.
Yeah.
I'm young. I think I'm younger than you by a year or two.
Probably more than that.
You think? Yeah. What year were you born?
62.
4 years.
Yeah.
4 years. All right. We went over respect, compassion, honesty, hard work. How about kindness? Now, I feel like the young people are pretty good at the kindness
thing. Yeah, I agree.
So, let's see. The significance of kindness, although undeniably great, is determined by how you express it. Right. We can feel kindness in our heart, but then we don't do anything about it. Then we're not really kind people. It's an interesting study. I read this once, and I believe this. You judge yourself on how you feel inside, but other people judge you on how you behave.
Right.
And because they don't know how you feel inside.
Right. Right.
And so that's one of those things, like, you know, I never really thought about that, because morally I feel this way, but did I act that way? I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe. All right. Gratitude. How are young people doing with gratitude in your experience, people that you've been around?
Gratitude. I don't think so.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like I'm not getting a lot of...
And I think, you know, it's possible it's a side effect of being young, where, you know, as a teen, you know, we all know the teenagers, that they think that the world owes them.
Yeah.
And I think that can carry into 20s.
What were you like as a teen? Did you feel that way when you were a teenager?
Yeah,
a little bit?
I was kind of feeling pretty cocky, you know. And yeah, I was probably not fun to be around.
We had Dr. Wagner was just on, did a show, did Dixie Chiropractic show, and he says, you know, at that age, you feel this sense of invincibility.
Yeah.
And you do stupid stuff, not knowing that in 20, 30, 40 years, you're going to very much regret those things, if not morally, maybe physically.
And that's, you know, you see these, do you ever watch the show Ridiculousness? It's on MTV. It's videos of people that just crash and burn.
Do stupid stuff.
And it's just, you see them on, I'm sure, Facebook or YouTube, whatever. And it's young people. I mean, the deliberate stuff, it's always young people. Because they get that invincibility.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. Even my daughter, who's been in Spain, she went into some areas of Spain. Spain is pretty innocuous. Not a lot of crime there, but some.
Uh-huh.
And her friend walking around these neighborhoods, and I'm like, is that safe? And she goes, well, they say it's not very safe, but we're together, we're good. And I'm just like, oh, my gosh. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, anyway, all right, sharing. Sharing is a form of caring. As a result, a child must understand the necessity of sharing with those who are in need. I feel like our young people get a pretty good grade on this one.
I would agree. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've told the story many times that, and we do have a caller we'll get to here in a second, but I told the story many times that I just, you know, I'm impressed with young people who, when they consider their career, I mean, you and I, when we considered our careers, it was, how can we make money?
Right.
And a lot of young people I know, and a couple of my children in particular, that was not the number one consideration when we thought about what career they were going to go into. It was, how can I help people?
Right.
I was like, wow, really? I mean, my way of how can I help people was, how can I feed my kids?
Yeah, yeah.
You know? And they were able to, you know, I think my one son, who is a nutrition expert, and he's found a way he helps people and also makes pretty decent money so he can feed his kid. So,
okay.
All right.
Very good.
Got a couple more. Let's take a phone call real quick. We only have 7 or 8 minutes left. What's on your mind today?
Is this me?
Yeah, that's you.
You know what? The thing is that I find is that a lot of these attributes that you say young people have, I find that even people in their 30s, 40s, and 50s have some of those attributes. I've had employees in their 40s and 50s that were so entitled that, you know, I couldn't even deal with them. I had to let them go because they... you know, took for granted that, you know, they deserve this or they deserve that. So I don't necessarily think that a lot of these attributes you talk about are necessarily only specific to young people.
Okay, I agree. You know, humanity has a range of emotions and values and cultures and the things that some things that are negative in those world as a teenager and a 20-something we carry on into adulthood. Hopefully, we learn to learn from our negative experiences and become better persons as we become adults. But I agree with you.
The world definitely seems like a lot of those attributes are becoming the norm as time goes on, and we've seen the world kind of shift to a different paradigm than what we were raised to believe is morally right.
Well, when you look at the cultural... go ahead.
A lot of young people find those values are way off skew, and the new norm is totally opposite of that. And I'm like, wow, where did we go off the rails?
Well, you know, when you get hyper-focused on your cultural leaders, and who are the cultural leaders these days? And who are they? Who have they been?
Yeah. You know, Taylor Swift, Madonna.
Yeah. I mean, so right. what kind of lifestyle are they promoting by living the way that they live?
Good point. And you see, by the way, thank you for the call, Roy. I appreciate it. You see a lot of the Hollywood stars, the big name, Taylor Swift, Oprah Winfrey, they endorse Kamala Harris.
Right. Well, not only that, just that, but I mean, just the fact that they don't tell you the truth.
Yeah.
That they'll skew a certain thing, and because of social media, because of the phone, the smartphone, you know, everything's been magnified and amplified way out of proportion. Yeah. Way out of proportion.
True. Yeah, true. All right, I got two more I want to get to, and we have 4 minutes left. Responsibility. How? What are the grades you would give out to young people being responsible?
A grade C minus.
Yeah, not good.
Maybe
a
D plus somewhere there.
And then generosity. So it's weird because we go back and forth. Responsibility. I don't think young people are really good at being responsible, but they're incredibly generous. The young people I know, they're willing to share and give.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. You know, I mean, on the one hand, that's fantastic. On the other hand, you know.
I think we probably get more selfish as the older we get, and if we start a family and we start having financial obligations.
Yeah.
When you're young and you don't have any family, it's easy. I mean, it's, again, new human nature when it goes through. What was the last one?
Generosity.
Generosity.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I noticed they didn't put in morality in there.
Well, they're all part kind of
sexual morality.
Sexual morality, okay. Chastity, that kind of thing. Yeah, that was not on the list. But you know, how important
way
is that?
Way down.
How important is that to young people? Yeah.
What was the big Kamala Harris's talking point? You know, the abortion issue.
Yeah.
I mean, really, when you think about
my body, my rules.
Well, yeah, except for when it's a vaccination time, but. Yeah. But the thing is all this abortion debate's about, and I told my daughter, I have three daughters, I told them all this. I said, this is about you being able to be sexually promiscuous all the time without dealing with the consequences.
Hmm.
That's all it is. And everything else is an obscurity to obscure the reality of what you're doing. In other words, the act of the abortion is murder, okay? And when you take out that word, the murder word, when you take out the baby word, when you take out the infant or the unborn child, you take those words out and you call it a mass, or you call it a cluster of cells or a fetus even. But fetus also is a Greek translation of a baby, and I forget the exact translation. But you take those words and you change them, you change the thing. All you're really doing is you're giving yourself, if you want to call it yourself, or giving society permission to say you can have unbridled sex with anybody you want, to the women and to the guys, because then they don't have to live up to the obligation of financial support or fatherhood.
Right.
And say, have sex all you want, kids. There's no result. There's no consequences.
Yeah.
And that's all it is. That's the crux of the whole argument.
Yeah, well, you're right.
That's my tirade for the day, if you want one.
And women would argue, well, we want to be like guys and not have any responsibility when we have sex.
There is responsibility if you're a guy.
There is.
The problem is that most guys don't assume it, and it's easy for a guy to abandon his responsibility, which is a problem. Because we've gotten rid of young boys teaching them how to become men, okay? Fatherless homes doesn't teach a young man as well to become a man.
Nope.
We've gotten rid of the Boy Scouts. the Boy Scouts, I don't know why, but they, you know, I'm proud that I'm an Eagle Scout, that I went through that program.
Yeah.
We've gotten rid of all these young things, these things for young men, to teach them how to become young men. And surprise, surprise, they didn't vote for the Democrats. Because why? Well, like toxic masculinity. Oh, because, you know, male virtues are not virtues. You know, they're just oppressors. This is a patriarchal society and you're just an oppressor and embryo. Yeah. Well, okay. So guess what? I'm not going to vote for that thing because I want to feel good about myself. And we need young men to feel good about themselves. We need young men to understand and to take responsibility and to do the things that society needs of them to do. Because a woman does not need to be married to a man-child. She needs to be married to a man. Mm. A man who takes responsibility and owns his world. So there it is.
Well said. Jack Lancaster here on the Andy Griffin Show. We've used it up, Jack. It's time.
All right.
Thanks for coming
Call
on
it
today.
A day, man.
McCray Hepler will be on tomorrow with What's Up in Southern Utah. And we'll talk to you then.